We're rolling along on an ugly-looking Tuesday. The rain has come down pretty hard here. We'll have the forecast coming up at the end of the hour, but right now we want to tell you that the Pomp and Joe Show, brought to you by JP Roofing. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. I was just looking at an article by Josh Shoey over the Penguins and some of the thoughts of trading some of their bigger names. Austin Bechtel behind the glass. This is a topic that is going to keep coming up because the Penguins are right in the middle of trying to what they're trying to make this season relevant. They still have big names on their roster, high-paid guys. But at the same time, they're in the middle of a rebuild where you would expect that some of the guys who consistently make up that core may be made available pending, you know, trade movement clauses that can be moved. Are you in the camp of trading both Rust or Raquel if you can get what you need moving forward, or do you keep them here?
Well, and Rust's no move is up, so there's now more of an opportunity for Kyle Dubas to be able to move off of his contract and be able to acquire assets. I would rather keep Rust, Bob, and I would trade Raquel. I think they should have dealt Raquel at the deadline. It seemed like they could have got a first-round pick back for him. That would have given them, you know, more first-round picks than songs that Starkey creates in a given day, where they already had three this past year after trading back with Philadelphia. I just feel like, at this point, you have to go all in on the rebuild, and that's a word that they don't want to admit, but I feel like they're kind of embracing. Maybe they just don't want to tell Sidney Crosby that, and whether it hurts his feelings or they don't want to fully just say it out loud because they're like, we have Sid. And can you really rebuild with Sid? That's just naturally where they are. Carlson has to go. Jarry, if they could find a taker, even though they traded Nedeljkovic. And the same thing with Ricard Raquel. I would keep Rust for Sidney Crosby. I would want one guy that Crosby trusts and likes to be on his line. Other than that, this season is about rebuilding, playing young players, and a farewell season for Evgeny Malkin.
I think Sidney Crosby is well aware of what's going on, and I think he probably has endorse what they're doing if he's still going to be here, and he understands what's going on with this team right now. They're in the middle of the middle part of where they need to be, and it's hard to get out of the middle. I mean, if you are a playoff team, you're a fringe playoff team, and that's if everything goes well. But if not, then you're going to be a team that needs more assets to the organization, which is why Kyle Dubas did what he did. What do you think out there? Call us at 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that. We just spent an hour with Nick Faribault talking about Steeler issues. Are you in the camp of TJ Watt signing here before training camp, during training camp, after training camp, or into the season? How long do you think TJ Watt and this contract situation will go on? 412-928-9370. We'll take those calls. In the meantime, I want to throw this out too because I found this interesting. These are the top college football rivalries as put together by The Athletic. And this is, of course, very subjective and depends on where you sit and what you watch. But the number one rivalry, and this is, again, a subjective thing, is a pretty obvious one, I think, right? If I say Michigan-Ohio State, that's what is going to come to mind.
That's the huge game.
All right, number two would be what in your mind?
Got to be the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama.
It is on this list. Then it gets interesting after that because some of these, and we have 25 to think about here, but the one thing I've noticed on this list, there's no mention of Penn State Pitt. There is Penn State Ohio State, which you would expect because that's. But the one
is that a rivalry though, Bob, when it's so one sided. Like Ohio State has just destroyed Penn State in so many games.
I understand that.
Not by the final score,
but it's always looked at. It's a big game on the schedule, and always tends to be
at the end of the year.
Right, but again, you know it's going to happen. Penn State will play Oregon this year. They'll probably beat them. It's the whiteout. Then they'll go to Ohio State. They'll lose. They'll go like 11-1 this year, and they'll make the playoffs. And then it'll be, the whole hee-hum, here we go, back to the playoffs, and they'll find a way to choke it. Possibly.
Possibly. But
hopefully not.
But if you don't think, you seem to be of, if I had to read your mind, Pitt-Penn State should be on this list.
I think Pitt-West Virginia should be on this list more than Pitt-Penn State even.
But it hurts that they don't play each other on a regular basis.
Correct.
This is self-induced. This is something that these guys did on their own. They're separated. They don't play enough.
Pitt-Penn State
historically,
or Pitt-West Virginia?
Both. They need to play every year for me to be a rivalry. I'm not going to – and it has been over the years. It's been tremendous here to watch. Every time these teams are played, these games are played at Acrisure Stadium, it'll be a sellout automatic no matter who it is and when it is. So, yes, it has potential, but I can understand why it's not listed because they don't play on a regular basis anymore.
Yeah, but they're playing right now.
I understand that. But the point is, if you're going to make these are what we're going to cite for you, our yearly rivalries, and they all happen at the end of the year, which to me, Pitt-Penn State should be doing, which to me, Pitt-West Virginia, if not and at the beginning, because we've seen now bigger games at the beginning of the year, vis-a-vis Ohio State-Texas, first game of the season. But Auburn, Alabama played every year. Oklahoma, Texas is played every year. Army, Navy is on the list. It's high up.
Yeah,
why? But they play it every year, and there's a lot of interest in that game.
Look who's six, though.
If you're not going to play, who's six?
Nebraska, Oklahoma, they don't play every year.
Well, see, I disagree
with that. That's the 80s and the 90s big-time
rivalry. I totally agree, and then why would that be a rivalry today?
Why is it up there at six?
It shouldn't be at six. No, like, and Nebraska's not any good, and they don't play, right? If they played, it's a whole different phenomenon. You know, then I can understand you're going back in history. But if you're not going to play these games on a regular basis, then I can understand why you fall off the list. All right, any other surprises on this list?
Yeah, here's the one that really gets it for me. There are two. Kansas, Missouri at 19 over the backyard brawl is a disgrace.
Yeah, Kansas, Missouri. I would never have considered. That's one on that list that I thought, come on, are you really doing that? And here's another one that I think. Iowa, Washington, or Wisconsin.
Iowa, Wisconsin.
I mean, it may be good for them, but as far as national appeal, I don't think that has much national appeal.
No, Harvard, Yale in football? I mean, does that matter? I know they've played the game for like, what, 300 years, but like.
Well, it doesn't matter in the sense that they're not ranked and they're not teams that you look for, but they do play the game every year, and it is one of those rivalries that's gone on for a long time. And again, I think that's part of the assessment of why this list has been put together. What else do we have? Michigan, Notre Dame. Yeah, that's fine. When's the last time Michigan, Notre Dame was playing? Well, Michigan, Michigan State should be ranked a little higher, even though that's not been as competitive lately either.
Yeah, then at 16.
Yeah, 16. I'd move them up.
Remember that punt block game that they had years ago where Michigan State won?
That was crazy.
That was at the Big House,
and
too.
That was that Sean McDonough doing the play-by-play on that
was,
one?
Yes.
It was a great call he made. Another one here. Let's see.
Alabama LSU at 13, that has to be higher. You're telling me that Nebraska...
I should be higher than Alabama Tennessee.
You're telling me that Florida State is a better rivalry than Alabama LSU?
Yeah, I don't buy it. No, I don't buy that either. So
Minnesota, hold on, 10. Minnesota, Wisconsin. You're telling me that's better than Alabama LSU?
That should not even be on the list. That's ranked 10th. Is that what it says?
10th?
That's bad. Yeah, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Sorry. Pitt, West Virginia, I would put it on. Again, they have to play these games, and this is why I wish these universities would get together and figure it out. It has to be played. All these other rivalry games are on here because they're played every year. And regardless, the only one, Nebraska, Oklahoma, that have fallen out, I can't believe they're as high as six. They must have put a whole bunch of emphasis on previous matchups. And if that's the case, then Pitt and Penn State should be on that list for sure.
So what are the qualifications?
I don't know. I didn't read enough to know about the qualifiers. I just saw the list.
That's why... I don't understand some of these. Like, Nebraska, Oklahoma have not... When was the last time that Nebraska and Oklahoma played on a consistent basis? Like, Pitt, West Virginia are at least playing in four-year spurts right now. Like, it's going to go away, but then it's going to come back again. Pitt, Penn State should play every year. Pitt should play both every year. Penn State should play both every... The three teams should play each other every single year. And they had, like, a two-year thing where Pitt and West Virginia... Or West Virginia and Penn State played, and I went to both of those games, and it was awesome. And those are just... things that are important for the area, and they should be played.
And the players get into it too, because many of them have made that choice between one of those two, or they've
recruiting.
Had. Yeah, I mean, so absolutely should be. It's good, healthy economic news for this area and for wherever. And Penn State fans will tell you, well, they're sold out every game. I hear that all the time. I get it, but this is still stuff. We've seen the change. It used to be college football would never have marquee games, Austin, in the very first week of the season. And now we see it all the time. Some of the biggest games of the year, and I cited Ohio State, Texas as one of them right off the bat. And this is also a very interesting year for the Steelers to be looking for a quarterback, because you're going to see virtually on every Saturday there are games on the list that you're going to be wanting to watch if you're trying to assess which quarterback the Steelers may end up with, because they're all going to be on display. And while a lot of them may still have to show you more, that's what this year is all about. They're essentially auditioning for their jobs in the NFL and who takes whom and when they take them.
Well, I mean, consider all the games. The fact that there's like four, five, six, maybe we're pushing seven, quarterbacks that could be taken around the first, second rounds, Like, you're talking Sellers at South Carolina, Aller at Penn State, Nussmeier at LSU.
Right.
You know, somebody always appears out of the blue. Plus, you're going to watch Arch Manning. You're going to watch Cade Klubnik at Clemson. There's going to be probably the noon window, a big-time quarterback you can watch, the 3:30 window, the 7 o'clock window, where you can say, all right, what quarterback could the Steelers get? And I can't wait for us to come in on a Monday and say, Garrett Nussmeier looked really good this week, Bob. And then, oh, the next week, look how Drew Aller did against Oregon at home in the whiteout, Bob. And, oh, boy, Arch Manning slinging the football. Should this be the Steelers quarterback? And we're going to go
every week. There's no question about
it. Every week.
And, again, Arch Manning right off the bat has to go to Ohio State and play. And I don't know about you, but I do not like noon kickoffs. I know that in Fox they've made that into one of their things.
It's awful.
They have the television revenue, so they make it possible. This is the price tag. And universities are more than willing, because of the money involved, to move the games. But that should be a night game. All these games that are at noon, to me, should be night games.
Well, here's the thing. Ohio State, there was an offer out there to say, hey, we'll put this game at night. Ohio State said yes. Texas is the one that said no. We want to keep it at noon.
Well, because it's advantageous to them,
I think. Because, I mean, you see that atmosphere when they hosted Tennessee in
the
playoffs?
Ohio State's one of the best. And I was supposed to go to that game, and I couldn't do it because of work. But, man, I was very interested in seeing that in person. And, man, they went on a roll, did they, led by Will Howard.
Yeah,
Let's talk about Will Howard a little bit, since I just mentioned his name, because he seems to be one of the guys in a perfect situation for them. He probably doesn't take one snap this year.
No.
So he'll hang around. He'll learn a little bit, get paid to do that. And then what happens next year? Let's just assume they're going to get the quarterback, somebody else. Maybe it's Drew Aller. Maybe it's any one of those names you mentioned. Does that person come right in, and because you drafted him in the first round and you traded up and you gave up picks to get him, does that guy immediately become the starter?
I don't know about immediately, but that guy would definitely start at some point in the season. Like, I would be okay.
Well, the push is now, if you're one of these guys, you got to come in immediately and play. All draft picks, there used to be a time when nobody played. Now, because they've invested so much in you, they want you to come in and you're ready to play in most cases,
well,
or at least should be.
You have to make sure that the situation around said quarterback is also good. Like, look at Caleb Williams. His offensive line was atrocious and he got beat up. Did that set him back for a while?
Or did it help him?
We'll see. Find out this year.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, though, did not necessarily need the help. He had a good offensive coordinator and just one offensive weapon and made it work. Drake May, though, sat for a couple of games before he ultimately played. So whoever that guy is, I'm going to want to see him play.
But would you expect Will Howard to offer up an opportunity, if he gets one, to challenge for that job next year?
If they have a rookie quarterback and the first-round pick, they take it like 10 or 12?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't.
How about if they go to camp and, I mean, I don't know if they're going to designate anyone just because he's – I don't think Mike Tomlin has ever done that. Say, unless it's a veteran that he's brought in, he doesn't have any other But if you're that first-round pick and you say he's our starter right off the bat and he struggles all throughout camp and Will Howard goes in and plays extremely well because of the year he learned, you know, I think that's an interesting topic.
It is.
And I don't know how it would actually play out here, to be honest.
But you're talking about a first-round pick that you probably are trading up for
and putting
significant assets in. You're going to let that guy play because you don't just owe it to – I don't know if you would owe it to that guy if he's not playing well, but you owe it to yourself to find out what you have. You know, like you
do, but again,
invested so much, you have to see what is there.
I understand that, but Will Howard has a resume that would make you think that he, if given an opportunity, should be able to do something. Even though he was a sixth round pick, forget that for a moment. His college career, especially in postseason play, was very good.
In postseason play, the regular season, there were some holes. Like, I am changing this opinion. Where I once said that I don't have an open mind that he could be a starter. My mind is a little bit open. It's a little bit ajar that he could start a couple of games for them and be like a Mason Rudolph type of quarterback. I think that would probably be best case scenario for the Steelers, just because I don't know what trait does Will Howard have that makes you say, like, wow, he could be a franchise guy. I don't know
what
it is.
Well, he was a captain of a national championship football team.
That's great. Kenny Pickett was, too, with the ACC championship.
He had a lot of success in winning that championship. If you look at some of the throws he made in clutch situations, down and distance, not in his favor. He made some throws. I went back and watched. I was impressed with it. Now, whether or not that ever materializes into an opportunity in the NFL, we'll never know. But I think the door's open also for teams that are willing to give, you know, Brock Purdy had an opportunity as a seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, to turn into something pretty relevant because he was given opportunities, and because other guys who were chosen three overall, like Trey Lance, didn't turn out to be much. But if they had gone into that situation just saying, hey, Trey Lance, you're our starter, period, that's it, we're going to go, they would have been highly disappointed. They turned out being highly disappointed. That doesn't mean you're going to be the player that you think you're going to get being third overall. So it works both ways there.
No, but I also think about, like, look, it's obviously a good thing that Will Howard led them to a national championship and was a really good player, and I give him all his props for that. And people on the text line will probably crush me and say, no, you hate Will Howard and all this made-up rhetoric about it.
You hate Will Howard. Let's just say it. You can say it.
No. I don't. I don't hate him at all. He seems like a really nice guy. I'm excited to potentially meet him at the celebrity softball game. I'm looking forward to that. Seems like a good dude. I just wonder about his football abilities. J.J. McCarthy has also won a national championship. I wonder about him. Stetson Bennett won back-to-back. Mac Jones won a national title.
I understand that.
Sure, Joe Burrow is also on that list in the last 5 to 10 years. But just because you win a national championship doesn't mean it's going to contribute to NFL success.
But it also doesn't mean you can't. You know, just because those guys failed or at least didn't reach the, you know, the mountain of where people expect them to, doesn't mean it was, you can't just put them all into, okay, Will Howard's never going to win because look at these guys. They all failed even though they won national championships. No, I'm willing to open my eyes and watch a kid. I think the kid has some moxie. We'll see what he does. I just hope he gets a chance along the way at some point.
Texter, you're going to prop up Aller, who was terrible in the postseason, but denigrate Howard for tearing up the postseason and having a bit of a struggle in the regular season. Can't make this up. No, I have multiple times said that Aller in the playoffs has been horrible, like he was in that game.
But you want him to be
Notre
the Steelers'
Dame.
Number one
bad.
Pick. You want him to be the Steelers' number one pick.
I was at the Notre Dame game. You don't have to tell me twice that he was bad in that game. He played pretty well in that Boise game. He played well in the SMU game. He was bad in the Notre Dame game. He's been bad against Ohio State. There. Admitted. Like, I can be transparent.
But you still want him to be the Steelers' pick.
I do, because I trust the traits, and I think that what he's going to do this year.
Will Howard has similar traits.
What similar traits does Will Howard have in terms of
ability
to move, big arm?
He won in the postseason. He has, yeah.
Those are more so like the Kenny Pickett intangibles. I'm talking about, like, arm strength, accuracy, ability to move.
I think Will Howard can move pretty well. I've watched him run away from pressure. I mean, again, we can have this until the proof is going to be when we actually see him. I will say this to you. We're going to see him a lot in this year's preseason.
Yeah.
So Charlie Batch and I have talked about what expectations could happen with him if he plays. And he's going to play a lot, I would imagine, right? Rodgers won't play. Or if he does, it's going to be very sparingly. And Mason Rudolph will get his share of play. But I think Will Howard, this is the proving ground for Will Howard.
Yes, Bob, I just realized that the texter that I just read that text from is the same texter that came at me earlier in the show. How about that? It's the same texter.
You got a stalker
texter. I have a very angry texter that does not like me, Bob.
Well, we all like you here. What are you talking about?
I'll have to meet the texter to try to create some goodwill.
Yeah, then you can set that up. You've been known to do that before, haven't you? Didn't you do that once before with somebody, a texter?
I've met a couple of people that have texted in before.
That's the way
like
you do it.
Games and stuff
it's
like
good
that.
To do it in person. This text stuff gets out of control sometimes.
Yeah.